Well, as the UK Health Minister Sajid Javid said, I think just last month, that despite the all-absorbing talk of COVID, and it obviously is the big health issue before us, there are many other health-related matters which not just health ministers like Javid, but indeed all individuals have to take care of and note. And one of them is being raised with some awareness this week, and I think it's most important. I've someone who's actually had it, so I can tell you a bit about it, and that is shingles. Now, experts and high-profile Australians now rallying to help the broader community learn a bit more about shingles. And this is all going to take place via a new campaign to raise awareness of the signs, symptoms and risk factors of this viral disease. Somebody who's front and centre of the campaign is Professor Robert Boy, infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist at the University of Sydney. And he's been good enough to join us on the program. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Thank you for your time. The latest data I've seen suggests that around 120,000 new cases of shingles occur each year. Now, as I said, I'm someone who's had it, and I can imagine if anyone has shingles, they'd find it pretty hard not to know they've got it. But out of the 120,000, everyone who's got it, are they aware they've got it?
Mostly, because it starts with itching and then develops into a red rash and then develops into a pimply lesion, and it's very much like chickenpox, but only in a localized area, sometimes on your abdomen, your chest, or more severely on your face. So it's on one side of the body, not both, and in one part of the body, but it's a reactivation of chickenpox, which you had as a child, and it's a virus that's been hiding for decades in your nervous system, either in your spine or in your brain. Then it comes out when you get immunosuppressed, when you get a problem like chemotherapy or a nasty infection, your immunity goes down and this virus comes out.
I'm still not sure what triggered mine, I have to say, because I didn't have any of what you just mentioned there. But as far as the triggers or the catalysts for shingles, what might they be?
Well, some people, it's just stress. They're just under a lot of pressure. And
that might have been it.
Their immune system just doesn't quite cope. It's the part of your immune system. You've got B cells, which makes antibodies and give you long-term protection. And T cells also recognize viruses. And when they go down, when you get older, and there's a couple of reasons, just getting older, 50s, 60s, 70s, it gets more common the older you are. That's called immunosenescence, your immune system getting old. And then there's immunocompromise when you've had chemotherapy or cancer or surgery. Any of those can trigger it. But sometimes it's just a simple stressful event.
Right. I think pretty much every adult over 50 or 99.5% have had the varicella zoster virus or chickenpox. So pretty much every adult over 50 is susceptible, or certainly it's possible that they will get shingles, right?
Yeah, well, once you get over 50, the risk goes up, and 120,000 amounts to about 40% of people. So not everyone, but if you live to be 85, the good news is you've got about a 50% or greater risk. And people who make it to 100 have almost 100% risk of getting zoster, because as you get older and older, your immune system gets weaker and weaker.
Right. Now, I suppose there's very little way of avoiding this. It's just something that would be triggered at some point, then you have to treat it, I guess.
Yeah, it's very hard to stop the triggering. And the treatment immediately, if you see a GP, there's antivirals that fight off the virus, analgesics, painkillers that help with the pain. But a good quarter of people or more have ongoing pain that lasts 3 months or more. That's called post-herpetic neuralgia. That just means really nasty pain, especially can occur if you have zoster on your face. That can lead to a number of complications. If it affects the eyes, you can even get a blinding of the eye. Mm. But you can also get a severe pain that goes on and on for months, and some people end up on antidepressants. It's so severe.
I remember when I had it just in the just under the chest area, around the sort of the upper ribs, and it occurred at some point near one of my birthdays, and so I was on the treatment, so I wasn't contagious as such. But nonetheless, when everyone would make you laugh, it was as if someone was stabbing you in the ribs. It was the most excruciating pain.
Yes, it's curious, because it starts with a bit of an itch and you don't even know what's going on, and then a bit of a red rash and then a pain. And And as you say, it can be really severe. And there's a good proportion of people, at least a quarter, maybe a third, who get the postherpetic problem that lasts 3 months or longer. Now, we're talking about long COVID. That lasts 3 months or more too. Mm. So viruses have this habit of causing an acute and immediate problem, but they also, in a fair minority, but a big chunk of people, cause a chronic problem that lasts 3 months or greater and can last, you know, a year or two.
Chickenpox is obviously contagious. The transmissibility of shingles, though, is that a thing?
It is if it's exposed. So when people have got that rash, if they cover it up with a bandage, that can stop transmission. So although it's transmissible, it's much less likely to infect anyone else. Especially, I had it myself on my back and around my chest as a young man. So it was really quite mild. If you get it when you're a bit older, it can get more and more severe. But yes, it is transmissible, but mostly not nearly as infectious as the original chickenpox, which gets all over your body and in your mouth. And poor little kids who get it, they can barely drink or eat because it's so severe.
Mind you, just with the chickenpox, I don't know if this is an old wives' tale or not, but the wisdom I heard was that you'd prefer to have it as a child, because if you get it as an adult, it's quite another matter altogether.
Yeah, there's wisdom in that, and 95% of people probably get it by the age of 15. So there's a small percentage you can get it as a young adult, and we certainly see more severe cases in adults than we do in kids. Same applies for measles, and we actually have in the last few years seen outbreaks of measles, and when young people have got it, they've ended up in hospital and occasionally died. So all these sort of childhood infections that are mild to moderate in kids can actually be more severe in a young adult.
Just before you go, Robert, just with the epidemiology hat on for a second here, I mean, obviously the children aren't at school by and large in a lot of southeastern Australia at the moment. Social distancing going on everywhere and all the rest of it because of COVID. Is there any data coming through yet as to how that is affecting the transmissibility of other conditions? For example, chickenpox among the youth? I mean, we know the common cold, the flu, the numbers of that have just gone right down to basically zero. They've hit the deck. What about these other transmissible conditions?
Well, it's all very dynamic, and I can talk all night, but I'll try, and all morning, but I'll say this. Flu will come back with a vengeance once we start mixing again, and especially when schools open, kids bring infections from home and from holidays, and the opening of school after holidays can lead to outbreaks of influenza, of measles, of chickenpox.
A whooping cough as well, of course.
Oh, yes, and that's a bacterium that's very highly transmissible too with a cough. And kids can get it really severely, and especially little babies, and we don't want them catching it. And so we need circles of protection around people, and we've had that with social distancing, but it can't last. And the immunity out there in people against things like flu is diminishing because we haven't seen it for a couple of years. So when it comes back, it's likely to come back with a blast. I just spent half an hour on the phone with Great Britain, a primary school teacher, and she's been describing all the measures they've taken there to prevent COVID, but they're opening up now. They're starting school again next week, and they're opening up. Mm. So there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Indeed. Great to talk to you. Thank you for your time, and well done on raising awareness of the shingles matter. It's, as I said, for you and me who have had it, and the others out there in listener land that have had it, I think they can understand why we need to raise awareness. I appreciate your time.
Sure, and see your GP if you think you've got it, and if you want to prevent it, see your GP too.
Well said. Professor Robert Boyd there, infectious diseases specialist and epidemiologist at the University of Sydney.